Welcome to Montana Public Radio. Thanks for coming by.
It's great to be here with you, Eric. Thank you.
You asked for this interview opportunity specifically to talk about how the security clearances for General Michael Flynn were handled, Flynn being President Trump's national security advisor who resigned last month amid reports that he misled the White House about his contacts with Russia's ambassador. Since then, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has recused himself from investigating White House interactions with Russia. Mr. Sessions and Russia's ambassador have called Congress's interest in this a, quote, witch hunt. What's your take?
Well, my take is, first of all, on the security clearances, that they've been in need of reform for some time. And it started with Snowden, the Navy Yard shooter, and others. And so what happened with Flynn and his security clearance once again brings the question, are we doing what we need to do to make sure that people who have the security clearances are worthy of that? And there's another issue with security clearances, and there's way too many of them out there for what we have. As far as Russia and the White House goes, it seems that every day it's a different person. And the issue is that in Flynn's case and in Sessions' case, they tell people one thing, and then we found a different information, and they say, oh, yeah, that isn't really the way it was. That isn't really the truth. Why are they not telling the truth? What's going on? And I think in this particular case, it goes well beyond politics. It's about the democracy. It's about the future of our democracy. It's about the future of this country. And there needs to be a full investigation. I actually am in favor of a blue ribbon commission with full subpoena powers to go out and do the investigation and get to the truth.
Commission convened by Congress?
Commission appointed by Congress, yes. Of, in my opinion, it would be people that have been there and done that, that have incredible credibility and people that could be able to spend the time to get to the bottom of it. Right now, the Intelligence Committee is doing an investigation. So far, the Judiciary Committee may end up diving into it too, but this needs to be done. It needs to be done with full transparency so that we can see the questions that are asked and the answers that are given, and so we can get this behind us, and so that we can determine whether these were just mistakes or there was information given to the Russians to corrupt our democracy. If that's the case, that becomes a much bigger issue than just appointing a special counsel. That becomes an issue where you are removed from office and potentially do jail time. That's treason.
Those are pretty serious charges. You think that Mr. Sessions is prone to a treason investigation?
No, but I think that the investigation of finding out what happened is what's really important here. I would not think that Jeff would go down this road. I know him. I don't know him well, but I know him pretty well. And I don't think that's within his character. Nonetheless, we need to do the investigation to find out what the truth is because, you know, sometimes people surprise you in their actions.
The congressional investigations you've been talking about, that would be in addition to what the FBI is doing? FBI is investigating? Do you think that there... The FBI is not capable of getting to the bottom of this, and that's why we need congressional investigation?
No, not at all. Intel is using the agencies, FBI being one of them, to get the information they need to be able to bring that forth to get to the truth. So FBI is working hand in glove, at least I hope they're working hand in glove, with the Intel Committee and other intelligence agencies too. As well as hopefully they're getting information from every avenue that's out there, foreign and domestic, as to what transpired and what went on.
What do you think the odds are that congressional investigations of the type you're calling for will actually happen with a Republican majority in both houses?
I don't know. Like I said, this is much bigger than politics. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. It really is about the future of our democracy. And if we compromise our voting in this country, if it was compromised and we don't get to the bottom of it, the next election will be compromised more, and the next election will be compromised more, and pretty soon we don't have a democracy anymore. The people's voice isn't heard. All the people that died for our right to vote will have died in vain. So I think it's critically important that we find out the truth. And do I think that it's going to be easy? No. Mark Warner is a ranking member on the Intel committee. I told Mark, this is going to be very difficult. And if you start finding some there'll be a lot of pressure put on you to stop. And I said, you cannot. The country depends upon this committee under your leadership and Senator Burr's leadership to get the bottom of this and determine if there was any wrongdoing.
You said you wanted to talk to us about the town hall meeting that you're going to be having tomorrow in Great Falls. And during the congressional break last month, Senator Daines took a lot of heat for not doing any town hall meetings. You also didn't do any town hall meetings during the congressional break. Why don't Montana senators want to have town hall meetings?
Well, I've been doing public meetings around the state for the last 10 years, but pretty intensely since the election, quite frankly, on health care in particular. Visiting with folks in every corner, large cities, small cities, and events in other areas too, events around public lands. I was in Bozeman 3 weeks ago today and walked into a meeting on climate change. I thought there'd be about 30 professors there. It turned out to be about 250 people that wanted to visit about issues around climate change. Look, the people are very involved right now, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the democracy. And I thought it was important, whether you call it a public meeting or a town hall, just gathering information from the folks.
I know that activists who are opposed to President Trump's agenda have been really actively organizing and making a concerted, organized effort to call for these town halls and to show up at town halls that Republicans are having and make their voices heard and make their displeasure with what's going on heard. Is your office seeing increased activism or increased involvement from the public since the election?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, we certainly have. And have had folks come up and compliment me, and I've had folks come up and say, what's going on? Why is this happening like this? So I think I think the fact is people are paying attention right now. If you take a look at the rally that was in Helena the day after inauguration, that Saturday, it was the biggest rally in the history of the state. I wasn't at it, but saw some of the video footage. There were people at that rally I'd never seen before in my life. And I get around the state a lot. And so I think that there are a lot of people that are fired up about what's going on. And that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. And I certainly don't think elected officials should be running from it.
What is it about the town hall format? You know, because it's, again, the folks who are making a lot of noise about these needing to happen say it's really important that they have these specific face-to-face meetings where the public is allowed to you know, I guess, set the agenda or run the meeting. Why do you think, I mean, is that particularly important? Are those kinds of meetings really, really important?
Well, I think in politics, perception's reality, so it's important to them. I like have people's input. It's one of the reasons we do a coffee on Wednesday morning so people can come in, talk about whatever they want when we're in Washington, D.C. It's one of the reasons I went around the state talking about health care, which is not an easy issue to talk about, talking about public lands, talking about our outdoor economy. I mean, the list is long. It's a big state, and it's got a lot of different economies within the state. We're going to do some more meetings on the Farm Bill soon. We started doing that before the end of the year, and we kind of backed off because of the potential repeal of the Affordable Care Act and went that direction. But if there's people out there that want to get a hold of us, we're pretty easily to get a hold of by emails, by telephone calls. Those are probably the best two ways. And then, you know, I mean, I might be sitting eating dinner in a Chinese restaurant somewhere, and somebody will come up and say, hey, John, what's going on here? What's going on there? You know, buying farm parts or whatever. And then there's the public meetings we have. So, I mean, I get around this state a lot and try to take the good ideas I hear from people back to Washington, D.C., and sometimes we're able to get them put into policy and get them passed. But ultimately, this is a state where people are very involved.
What are your takeaways from President Trump's address to the joint session?
I thought it was the best speech he had given. He didn't talk much about ag, didn't talk much about outdoor public lands and the activities around them. He did talk a lot. I mean, he talked about infrastructure and the importance of that, talked a little bit about draining the swamp, talked about some tax reform, talked about a number of things that cost money, whether it's through the tax code or through direct appropriations. What I also didn't hear is how it was going to be paid for. And a lot of them were really good ideas, but how you get them paid for is the big thing. You know, we're talking $54 billion bump for military. And look, I think that anybody could agree that especially our Guard and Reserve units can need to be rebuilt because they've been utilized a lot over the last 15 years in the Middle East. But the real question is, if that money comes from the State Department, which I think there's a proposal for a $30 billion cut to the State Department, that could have some pretty negative impacts too. So we've got to see where the money's coming from, because you might be robbing Peter to pay Paul and end up with a net negative.
Trump administration is also talking about cutting the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency or just dialing back what the EPA has been doing for the last 8 years. What's your take on the Trump EPA?
My take is the EPA was put to work for good reason, and I think that if you start dialing back the EPA, it really does put at risk things like the Pitt and Butte, and getting that cleaned up, and it's getting to a level where it's critically important that it gets we show some attention to that. The same thing with the vermiculite problem that W.R. Grace put in up at Libby, and there's others around the state. So. Once again, it might sound good to cut a regulatory agency, but in the end, we've got to get these things cleaned up. And if you cut their budgets, it's going to limit their ability to do their job. And part of their job is making sure that we have a clean and healthful environment.
Going back to the speech, can you give me maybe an example or two of something you heard in the speech where you're like, okay, I think I can work with President Trump on that, and something where you're like, nope, I'm going to resist that?
Well, infrastructure is I mean, that's really a no-brainer, quite frankly. I mean, we need good roads and bridges and broadband and sewer systems and water systems and trail maintenance and all those kind of things out there that can help push the economy forward. So I absolutely can work with him on that. I can work with him with the drain in the swamp, but we really have to drain the swamp, just not say it, but do it. And there's things, he's got an executive order that's positive about preventing folks in his administration from lobbying. I think we ought to make it permanent and apply it to the legislative branch too. I think those are two things right off the top that we could work on. Look, I'll tell you one that is somewhat bothersome to me. Our national security is critically important. Our border security is critically important. But to spend $20 to $30 billion on a wall may not be the best way to keep our borders secure. There's a company, it's a Native American company, Salish Kootenai have it, that uses a line, I believe it's fiber optics, to determine if a rabbit or a person walks across that line. That may be much more cost-effective and much more effective as far as enabling this country to be secure. So I'm a little hesitant when they say, well, we're going to build a fence everywhere along the line and then just assume that we're going to have good border security. I think it's a false hope. I think there are places where the wall is entirely appropriate, but I'm sure there are places where it isn't. And in that case, we may have to use technology like I just talked about, maybe manpower. But maybe it would be a waste of money to build the wall in that spot. So I'm a little concerned about, making a campaign promise, which he did, and he's fulfilling it, but it may not be the best option for the taxpayer when it actually comes to this country's security. So that's one that there's going to have to be a lot more work done, and I think that ICE and Customs and Border Protection and folks like that, we need to get a lot more input from them before he just say, we're going to do this, no questions asked.
I've been seeing advertisements pairing you unfavorably with President Obama and encouraging folks to get in touch with you to confirm Justice Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. What's your thinking on that?
Well, I think it speaks to the fact that we need campaign finance reform, and we need to find out where this money's coming from. And Montana knows this. This money's probably coming from a corporation. corporations aren't people, but they were treating them like it when it comes to campaigns. They started running ads in the 2012 election in 2010. They're doing the same thing this cycle.
So you regard these as ads against your 2018 Senate campaign?
Absolutely. Unequivocally, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, because if you look at the first half of the ad, it's very negative on me, and then the last half of the ad is positive on Gorsuch. And I don't think they really care how I vote on Gorsuch. I think they want to try to, dig into the brand.
How will you vote on Gorsuch?
Haven't made up my mind yet, and that's a fact, Eric. I've got more work to do. I've got to read some more of his opinions, and unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of that done this week because we were really, really busy with a number of things, but. I will get the time. Grassley, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, has set his hearing. I think it's in about 3 weeks. My goal is to get the information that I need so I can make a decision shortly after that hearing.
What do you think it's going to take for Democrats to prevail in the May election to fill Montana's seat in the U.S. House?
I think you've got to have an appealing candidate that is willing to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until May 25th. And I think if they're able to work hard and have a message that Montanans can relate with, I think they'll win. Montanans, they don't necessarily vote for a Republican. Well, some do, but for the most part, they don't vote for Republicans as a Republican or a Democrat because it's a Democrat. They vote because they like what they see and they like what they hear. If that person's got a good image and have good message, and I'm telling you, for 3 months they have to be nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I think they can win.
Do you have a favorite for the Democrats to run?
The one that works the hardest will be the one that I am going to prefer. I mean, I really do think it's no different picking. Hey, man, you got the hay to pick. You got to go out and get her done, or it won't get done. You got to touch every person you can touch. You got to talk to every person you can talk to, and if you do that, you're probably going to win.
Senator Tester, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Eric.